This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
You know, sometimes when you see a blowout, when you go to a game, a football game, a basketball game, a fight, and it's just so one-sided, it's over by halftime, you go home disappointed. You say, I was hoping for a good game, even if your team wins. You were hoping it would go down on the wire. It'd be exciting and intense. Sometimes you're a little disappointed when you witness a blowout, a bloodbath. Well, sometimes it's a lot of fun. Sometimes it's great entertainment. And what we saw on Capitol Hill, what I watched, what I could not take my eyes off of, was one of the great blowouts of all time. And it was spectacular. I only wish everyone could see this. I wish people would take their time to go back, watch video, go back and see, at least see the highlights, which we have some of them, of the hearing yesterday, the Oversight Committee hearing, with the great Tony Bobulinski and others, digging into the abject corruption of Joe Biden. It was amazing. I cannot overstate how entertaining it was, how hilarious it was, how effective it was. I'll just start by saying what we know now about the president is the biggest scandal in American political history. What they have on Joe Biden is more than what they had on Richard Nixon or Bill Clinton or certainly Donald Trump. We have in the White House the most corrupt president in U.S. history. We have a man who sold out this country through his son, his brother, a man who got rich selling access to him when he was vice president. And it's irrefutable now. The Republicans don't have evidence. They have proof. The idea that Democrats are claiming there's nothing here, a nothing burger, as they each of them said. You went to every Democrat, and their point was, you got nothing. Then they'd go to Republican, and they would bring out the receipts, and they would ask the questions, and they would absolutely devastate the case that the Democrats were making. It was remarkable. And clearly, the Democrats, the media, they know it, because they're going to attempt to ignore it. We go over this every day. The just corruption, the dishonesty of the mainstream media, it was never on a more vivid display than yesterday. Say what you want about Bobulinski. He was a great witness. He was a guy who was in the room with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. He explained in detail the scheme, the scam that the Bidens have been running for years. I've never seen a better witness. I've watched lots of these hearings. I've seen people who were good. No one I've ever seen was as good as Tony Bobulinski, who is a nuclear engineer, who has a master's degree in nuclear engineering, who is a really smart guy. And he had to sit there and take questions from really stupid people. I'm sorry, if you're a Democrat today, you're not sending your best. Before the hearing began, one Democrat, Jared Moskowitz, showed up in a Vladimir Putin mask, a rubber mask, a congressman in a suit and tie with a Putin mask. I then watched this hearing for hours. It had nothing to do with Putin. I don't even understand. I don't even understand the stunt. That's where we are right now. You had other Democrats who just, like Eric Swalwell and AOC, who were just lost. It's like they don't even understand the investigation. They don't understand the story. They're just really, really dumb. And Tony Bobulinski is really, really smart. And you can't sit here and say there was no evidence. They brought receipts. They made the case. The idea that Biden has not been impeached already is insane to me. I've lived through impeachments. I lived through Bill Clinton. I lived through two Trump impeachments, both of which were absolute jokes. The first one, quick refresher, he was impeached for a phone call with Zelensky asking him to look into the corruption.
A perfect phone call. Biden's.
A perfect phone call. And clearly it was his obligation. Look into this deal. It's dirty. It's corrupt. He was right. It was appropriate. It was his job. He was impeached for it. The second one, he was impeached for January 6th after he left office. Or after January 6th, as he was about to leave office, he told the crowd to go march peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol. For that, he was impeached by the Democrats. Those cases, as we know, were absolute jokes. This one is real, real corruption, crimes, real influence peddling, real money laundering. I just want to go over this again quick before we get to some of the highlights, because they're amazing. I mean, they're just amazing. Keep this in mind. The Biden family, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, set up 20 shell companies. They transferred money from one to the other. They used burner phones. They used encrypted messages. They used aliases. Joe Biden had 3 different aliases. Ask yourself, what kind of legitimate business does that? And they did business with our enemies. They weren't doing business with France and England and Canada. They were doing business with China and Ukraine and Russia. And it's all in black and white. They got caught. Your president is a crook. There's really no doubt about that anymore. And one more thing before we get to the highlights. The one thing that struck me, many things struck me, but one thing that struck me for the first time yesterday was the just out of control greed of these Bidens. These are just venal, vile, greedy people. Consider, Joe Biden was in D.C. for 50 years. He was a senator. He was a vice president. He left the vice presidency, and he wrote a book, which nobody ever read, even though it included classified information. He got $8 million for that. He got big speaking fees. He was rich. Hunter Biden is a lawyer. I mean, he went to law school, which he didn't get in legitimately, but he went to Yale. He's a lawyer. He's sitting on corporate boards. He's making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, a year. He could get rich. Jim Biden, businessman using his brother's connections, he could get rich. It wasn't enough. Millions weren't enough for these greedy SOBs. They wanted hundreds of millions. They wanted to be a dynasty. They envied the Kennedys. They wanted to be one of these families with just untold riches, with hundreds of millions of dollars. That's what they wanted. And they went to our adversaries and they sold out this country for tens of millions of dollars. And that was the goal. That was the goal all along. Joe Biden would be the big guy. He'd be behind the scenes, you know, keep it under your hat. As they said, don't write anything down. That was their motto. You know, I forget the term, write it and regret it, write it and regret it. They wanted to communicate without leaving a paper trail. That's what they tried to do. Problem is, the point man was a drug addict and a moron, and as we all know, who dropped off the laptop and never picked it up. If Hunter Biden wasn't a drug-addled moron, they might have gotten away with this. They did not get away with it. They might eventually, because the media is so corrupt, because the Democrats are so corrupt. But the case we saw laid out yesterday was mind-numbing. It was incredible. You cannot deny it anymore. Your president is a crook. He's a terrible president. Even if he were on the level, I mean, we know what's happened in this country. We see the border. We see inflation. We see disasters overseas. He's an awful president without this. But he's not just a bad president. He's a really bad guy. He used his drug-addled son as the front man, as the bag man. And he sent him around the country in the middle of his addiction, sent him around the world to suck up cash from foreign adversaries. And Tony Bobulinski, they made a real big mistake. They tried to cut him out of a deal. They tried to screw him over. And Bobulinski's been waiting 3 years, 4 years to tell his story. That's, again, how corrupt these people are. They didn't want him to speak. The FBI never spoke to him. No mainstream media outlet has ever called Tony Bobulinski. I don't care if you're CNN or NBC or ABC or the New York Times. This is what journalists are supposed to do. They're supposed to cover the news. Well, today's journalists don't cover the news. They cover it up. They cover the news with a pillow until it stops breathing. They were hoping we'd never hear from Bobulinski. If Republicans hadn't taken the House, we'd never hear from this guy who has all the details, all the receipts about the commander-in-chief, the leader of the free world, selling out his country. That's not an overstatement. If you watched yesterday, you know they made the case. They have the evidence. They have the proof. He should be impeached today. I'm not going to be surprised if he's not, because the Republicans are weak. The Republicans have these squishes, these Mitt Romneys, these Ken Bucks, these cowards who are afraid of the backlash if they tell the truth about Joe Biden. But it wasn't just informative. It wasn't just effective. It was wildly entertaining. Again, keep in mind, Bobulinski is really smart. He's been waiting to tell his story. He has everything right here in his head. He didn't need notes. And he was sitting here taking questions from morons like Dan Goldman and Jared Moskowitz and Jamie Raskin. And of course, the biggest moron of them all, AOC. AOC is a congressman from New York, from Queens. She used to be a bartender. I don't want to, you know, besmirch bartenders. I'm guessing she was a really bad bartender. I'm guessing she struggled with a rum and coke, a gin and tonic. She probably had to look at the little book. What goes in a rum and coke? She's an idiot. And she's a congresswoman who will be in Congress for the next 40 years. If she doesn't run for the Senate, she's going to be in Congress representing the Democrats for the next, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years. And she is dumb as a rock, as we will see. All right, we'll start with AOC. We must, because it was the most entertaining moment in this hearing. And it was perhaps Bobulinski's finest moment. She wants to know what crime Joe Biden committed after they laid out dozens of crimes that the president committed. She doesn't understand. What crime? I don't understand. What crime did he commit? Let's watch.
Mr. Bobulinski, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple. Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
Specifically. You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption statute.
Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is
it's
the crime?
It's a category of crimes that you're then charged
with. You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges. Statute. Sir, please
want me to
name
the exact statute under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
all right, sir, I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That went to law
my
school.
Time. I
I'll
reclaim
leave
my
it
time.
To you guys
okay,
to
thank
define
you, sir. I reclaim my time.
RICO.
Clearly, what we are seeing here today.
She is just an idiot. All right, quick, let's go to Wikipedia. The Racketeering Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act is a United States federal law. So Bubba Linsky was right, of course. She's wrong. That's a law. Beside that, and I tweeted about this, and lots of people say, it's not a law. Yes, it is. It's a law, by the way. Donald Trump is being prosecuted for in Georgia right now. RICO is not a law. Yes, it is. Secondly, he listed other laws. He listed conspiracy, FARA violations. Those are laws the Bidens violated. She thinks this is her big moment. God, this was humiliating. I felt bad for Sandy Cortez, proud BU grad with a degree in international relations and economics. Hang your head in shame, Boston University. You graduated this nitwit. But Bob Alinsky was right. She was wrong. He violated RICO statutes. And if you gave him time, if you let him speak, he would have listed a dozen things. Clearly, FARA violations, obviously. That's not even disputable. Clearly, conspiracy, money laundering, influence peddling. Those are crimes violated by Joe Biden, violated by the Biden family. That was perhaps the moment that got the most attention, because she's so embarrassing. She's flailing, if you're not watching, with her arms and her head. And RICO is not a crime. And then they go to Bubba Linsky's face and his eyes just wide. And he looks, he goes, is she really saying that? Is she serious? Yes, she is. Before we get to the next cut, the next couple of cuts, here's what struck me. AOC entered Congress in 2019. She was a big celebrity from day one. Why? Because she was a rebel. She was an outsider. She was going to take on the man. She was going to take on the establishment. She was that kind of far left renegade. She's become, in the last 4 years, just another tool of the deep state. She is sitting there protecting, not well, but attempting to protect and deflect and help out the deep state. The reason Biden hasn't been prosecuted, the reason Hunter Biden is not in jail, is because the DOJ, the FBI, the IRS, as we've learned from whistleblowers, is completely in the tank for the Biden family. They can subpoena him and charge him if he ignores a subpoena. Peter Navarro is in prison for ignoring a congressional subpoena. Hunter Biden will ignore subpoena, and he won't go to jail because he knows that the federal government is on his side, is there to protect the Bidens. That's obvious. You know who else is there to protect the Bidens? AOC, this fraud, this phony. She has turned into a rubber stamp for anything the Bidens, the establishment, the deep state does. Hell, she supports war. She supports unlimited funds for foreign wars. Some rebel, AOC. You are some impressive outsider. God, this was not a good day for AOC, and it was not a good day for the Bidens. Again, Hunter Biden, 3 months after standing outside of Congress and saying, the Republicans, what are they afraid of? I'm here. I'm ready. Let's go. The coward didn't have the guts to show up and sit next to Tony Bobulinski, because Hunter Biden is a moron and Bobulinski is not. It was the only thing Hunter could do. He couldn't show up. He couldn't do it. He can't handle it. I wish he would, because not only would the Republicans devour him, but the Democrats would be forced to defend him. They would be forced to defend this drug-addled crook, this guy who's on video with underage escorts doing drugs and mocking the whole system. They'd be forced to defend him. Hopefully, they make him come in and testify publicly in front of the cameras. But my favorite thing is when the Democrats get their turn and they say, there's no evidence. You got nothing. It's a nothing burger. Okay. The chair recognizes Byron Donalds from Florida. So Byron Donalds has his 5 minutes and just devastates these clowns who keep screaming, no evidence, no evidence. Okay, you want evidence? Here you go. Let's watch.
Now, here's where the fun stuff comes in, everybody, and I got a minute to do it, so we're going to get this done. On August 14, there is $150,000 that is transferred from a Owasco PC, which is controlled by Hunter Biden, to Lion Hall Group, which is controlled by James Biden. I have the records here, Mr. Chairman, of the $150,000 that has gone to Lion Hall Group from Owasco PC. I want to submit that for the record.
Without objection, to ordered.
On August 28th, and I believe we have a screenshot for everybody in the room. On August 28th, Mr. Chairman, we have the withdrawal ticket from Lion Hall Group that is signed by Sarah Biden, who is the wife of Jim Biden, for $50,000 to withdraw from Lion Hall Group. I want to submit that withdrawal receipt for the record.
Without objection, to ordered.
On September 3rd, on August 28th, actually, Mr. Chairman, we have the deposit reference into Sarah Jones Biden's account on the same day she withdrew it from Lion Hall. I want to submit
without
that.
Without objection, to ordered.
Last document. On September 3rd, 2007, from Sarah Biden's own personal account, there is a check that is written to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the president of the United States today, for $40,000, signed loan repayment. A loan repayment, by the way, that Joe Biden's own personal accountant, Mr. Eric Schwerin, has no record for. I want to submit that for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, to ordered.
To the members of the committee, it is clear that the source of this money came from CEFC. And at CEFC is a company that is directly linked to the CCP and actually the chairman of the CCP, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Chairman Xi Jinping. With that, I yield.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman.
They got nothing. First of all, they say these are loans. Obviously, it's a lie to Joe Biden, sending checks. One check went directly from China to Biden's home in Delaware. But there's no record of him loaning them the money. Biden's own lawyer, under oath, Eric Schwerin, said there's no record of a loan. So they weren't loans. They were the 10% for the big guy. I don't know. I would call that proof. Can you imagine if Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, were running a scam like this and they had receipts and checks and shell companies and encrypted messages and burner phones and aliases? Do you think Jake Tapper would sit down with the witness? Do you think the New York Times would interview the witnesses and maybe cover this? I love it when the media gets exposed as frauds, but this was huge. But perhaps the best, the most incriminating 5 minutes came from Nancy Mace, Congresswoman of South Carolina, a bit of a rhino. She's a pro-abortion, and she used to hate Trump. Now she loves Trump. Man, when she's good, she's great. And she's the one that George Stephanopoulos, she's a rape victim. Stephanopoulos brought her on to shame her, to embarrass her. She's now calling for a boycott of ABC, and I'm all for it. She is a Trump supporter. She sat there while Stephanopoulos lied 10 times, saying Trump was liable for rape. Trump's a rapist. Trump's now suing Steffi. God, I hope he succeeds. But anyway, she's on this committee, and she questions two witnesses, Jason Galanis, who's in prison, by the way, which the Democrats exploited, said, oh, look, your witness is in prison. He's in prison for scamming a Native American tribe out of their pension. You know who else was involved in that? Hunter Biden. He's in prison for a scheme he ran with Hunter Biden. Of course, Hunter Biden never goes to prison because he's Hunter Biden. But Jason Galanis is serving 14 years for the scam. So he testified from prison. He's in prison. Bob Alinsky is sitting right there. And Mace starts rapid fire, asking him questions. Listen to this. And again, tell me there's no evidence. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, on March 1st, 2024, Joe Biden stated he did not interact with Hunter or Jim Biden Business Associates. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask unanimous consent to enter into a record New York Post article. Biden insists he did not interact with his...
Without objection to order.
We're going to go fast here. I have strictly yes or no questions. On that note, the New York Post article, Joe Biden also said, read the record of every single witness. So I did. I first read Devin Archer's deposition, and he interacted with Joe Biden. Then I read the transcripts of Wob Walker, Eric Schwerin, George Burgess, Kevin Morris, Tony Bobulinski, and Jason Galanis. And every single one of them interacted with Joe Biden. And that's just the people we interviewed. Mr. Galanis, my first questions are for you. Did Hunter Biden call Joe Biden with Elaine Baderina on the line on May 4th, 2014, yes or no?
Yes.
In that call, did Hunter Biden state on this call with Joe Biden that everything is good and we are moving forward?
Yes, he did.
Okay. On the same call, did Joe Biden in the call was saying, okay, then you be good to my boy?
Yes, he said that as well.
Okay. Did Baderina agree to put $20 million into one of Hunter Biden's business projects days later after this phone call?
Yes.
Okay. Did Hunter Biden ever take a call from Joe Biden while at the Peninsula Bar in New York?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Did Hunter Biden ever take a call from Joe Biden while at the Peninsula Bar in New York?
Yes, he did.
During this call, did Hunter Biden update Joe Biden on progress in a landing a business partnership with Harvest Fund Management?
Yes.
Okay. Was Harvest, a $300 billion Chinese financial services company, closely tied to the Chinese Communist Party?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Is Hunter Biden involved with Harvest?
Hunter Biden was involved with Harvest in two ways, through BHR, which is a fund.
Yes or no? Was Hunter Biden involved with Harvest? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. As part of the
deal, extensive emails to that effect.
As part of the deal, did Hunter Biden want the company to reserve a board seat for Joe Biden?
Yes.
Okay. Did Henry Zhao, a Chinese businessman, want assurances Joe Biden would join the board? Yes or no?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Did Hunter Biden
in emails as well?
Okay. Thank you. Did Hunter Biden draft an email stating, please also remind Henry Zhao of our conversation about a board seat for a certain relation of mine. Devin and I golfed with that relation earlier this week, and we discussed this very idea again. And as always, he remains very, very keen on the opportunity. Here is a photo of Joe Biden and Devin Archer and Hunter Biden golfing days before the alleged email draft. Do you believe a certain relation of mine refers to Joe Biden?
I don't think there's any question. It was based on firsthand conversations with Devin Archer, who was in that picture and at that golf meeting.
Did you ever meet with Devin Archer where Hunter took calls from his father?
Yes.
Okay. During one of these phone calls, did Hunter Biden tell Joe Biden that he and Henry Zhao needed help getting across the finish line?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Mr. Bobulinski, do you recall receiving an email that floated the possibility of giving 10% ownership of Sinohawk to Joe Biden through Hunter Biden?
Yes.
Okay. My last questions are for both of you very quickly. Mr. Bobulinski and Mr. Galanis, you both stated you were told not to use Joe Biden's name in communications, correct, Mr. Bobulinski?
Correct.
Mr. Galanis?
Yes.
Okay. Did Joe Biden participate in phone conversations and meetings with Hunter Biden, his business associates, and foreign interests? Yes or no? Mr. Bobulinski?
He clearly did.
Mr. Galanis, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. In Hunter Biden's deposition, he said he did not involve his father in his business. Did Hunter Biden lie under oath? Yes or no? Mr. Bobulinski?
Yes.
Mr. Galanis?
That's what he said. Yes.
Is Joe Biden lying when he says he did not interact with Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, their business partners, or foreign interests? Yes or no?
Yes.
Mr. Galanis?
Yes.
All right. In a debate on October 22nd, 2020, Joe Biden denied Hunter Biden made money from China. Then Hunter Biden, his business associates, and foreign interests include money from Chinese businesses, business partners, and or interests. Yes or no? Mr. Bobulinski?
I'm sorry, did the Biden family make money?
Money from Chinese
Correct.
Business interests?
Yes.
Mr. Galanis? Did Hunter Biden receive money from Chinese business interests? Yes or no?
Yes, he was.
All right. Joe Biden has repeatedly claimed that he was not involved in Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, or any other Biden family business deals. Today, our witnesses have proved otherwise. Today, we've established Joe Biden lied about interacting with Hunter Biden's business associates. It is my belief Joe Biden is the closer for Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, and their business associates and foreign interests. Good luck to the left proving otherwise. Thank you, and I yield back.
That was so well done. you can't, after that 5 minute, you can't say there's no evidence, there's no proof. She said, it's my belief that Joe Biden was the man behind. It's not your belief. It's a fact. You proved it. It was brilliant. Kudos to Nancy Mace. She did a great job. And there's no refuting it. There's no argument here anymore. It's over. They're right. It's over. They proved it. Now, again, the DOJ is so corrupt. The Democrats in the Senate, he'd never get convicted. It doesn't matter. They have to impeach him. They proved it. It's the most effective impeachment case I've ever seen. You can't even debate it. There's no debate. The Democrats wore rubber masks and screamed about Putin and claimed RICO's not a crime, while the Republicans went down the checklist and proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's incredible. Joe Biden, by the way, is on video dozens of times in a debate with Trump lying, and the mainstream media has no interest. The sitting president lied over and over and over again and made money from our adversaries overseas, and the media doesn't touch it. I think it was MSNBC, could have been CNN today, and they're talking about a gardener at Mar-a-Lago, you know, who turned on Trump or is going to testify. This is Joe Biden's business partner laying out the case, and they have no interest. It's incredible. Probably nothing will come of it, but we know now, and history will show that the 46th president is more corrupt than you could even imagine. He's just such a corrupt guy. It's incredible. But anyway, we got lots more to get to. But that was amazing. Just amazing. Go watch it. It's historic. It really is. Your president is a crook. Anyway, we got to get to the show. Otani, maybe you can explain it to me. It's a very complicated story. And MLB is a little nervous right now, I have to say. And we're going to tell you. Oh, by the way, we have somebody who is instructing people on how to squat, on how to steal houses. That's where we are right now. You can get on TikTok and get step-by-step on how to steal somebody's house. That's where we're at right now. And you probably won't be surprised by this, but most Democrats think the pandemic isn't over. These people are insane. That's what a mask does now. Instead of, you know, writing on their forehead, "I'm insane," they wear a mask and they pretend we're still living in fear of the deadly virus. These people are nuts. We'll get to that and lots more.
Excuse me.
We all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years, and I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. Well, silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. I want to do quickly a video. We got so much here. I'll try to move quick. A video posted by our friend Turtle Boy. yesterday. This is from the St. Patrick's Day Parade in South Boston. Again, St. Patrick's Day Parade in South Boston. We talked yesterday about all the videos we see now on Twitter, on TikTok, of just animalistic behavior. Kids beating up other kids, gangs ganging up on, you know, one person, kicking the crap out of them. It's usually, you know, black kids against one white kid. We're not allowed to say that, but we have to ask the question that we always ask. What if the races were reversed? Would this be a story? Because this isn't a big story. It was picked up by libs of TikTok and other accounts. It kind of went viral. But I'm just going to guess the Boston police are not investigating. They're not going to make any arrests. There won't be any celebrities or big corporate titans speaking out against this. There'll be no marches. There'll be nothing. I'm going to guess, just a guess, the Boston Globe hasn't touched this because it doesn't fit the narrative. But watch this video from Sunday in South Boston. A gang of black kids not only beat up the white kid, but throw him down a hill where he hits his head. It's incredibly violent, vicious, and it'll just go away. Go away.
Jesus.
If you're not watching, they beat him up, they kick him down a hill. He smacks his head on a fence post. He's laid out, hurt, injured. They go down and spit on him and throw beer on him. One white kid. And I don't know how many, five, six black kids, maybe men. They could be adults. We can't tell. We won't know. Do we know the victim? No. Do we know the perpetrator? No. It'll just go away. Look at him pummel him. He's probably drunk. I wouldn't be surprised. They pummel him. He tries to get away. And they kick him down this hill where he smacks his head. Is he injured? We don't know. We don't know. I've been looking for info on this. Dead end, of course, because it doesn't fit the narrative. If, again, the races were reversed, this would be the biggest story in the country today. I'm not exaggerating. This would be everywhere. This would be on a loop on MSNBC. They'd be digging up all the Boston, all the tropes. This is typical Boston. But it doesn't work.
I am curious what was said before the fight, but I'm also curious about this. I don't know if you see on the bottom right here, this white dork that comes out of nowhere just to point and laugh at him, just to fit in, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you can hear the laughter. And of course, people sit and videotape and do nothing. This is America today. And reverse the races, and it's nonstop all day, every day. They would be rounding up the perpetrators right now. They'd all be arrested. They'd be frog marched. We'd know their names. They'd be at their doorsteps. But this doesn't work for them. So we'll just give it a good leaving alone and hope it goes away. All right. Speaking of hoping it goes away, I don't know. This story just made me laugh out loud. And let me see who does this poll. There's a poll of people on their feelings about the pandemic. This is from unheard.com. Over half of Democrats do not believe the COVID-19 pandemic is over. A new poll from Gallup shows. The poll found that only 41% of Democrats say the pandemic is over versus 79% of Republicans and 63% of independents. So 59% of Democrats, 6 in 10, think the pandemic is still going on. Do they think we should still, you know, stay in 6 feet apart? Do they still put their feet on the little footprints at CVS and at Stop and Shop when they're in line? I mean, they're still wearing masks. We know that, which never worked, which were always silly. But do they still think, I don't know, schools should be closed? Churches should be closed? It's one thing if you're just some mentally ill lunatic like Taylor Lorenz, But this is 6 in 10 Democrats. This is tens and tens of millions of Americans who still think the pandemic's going on. Maybe they're just pretending because it helps them. You know, it helped them, got their guy, Joe Biden, elected. You know, they got to crack down on people. They got to enforce all kinds of measures, which they love. And it helped them. But they really think the pandemic's going on. They really think it's not over. And they really believe in long COVID, which is the made-up thing. And we're really supposed to, you know, be careful out there.
It's still going on because all those shots work really well, Jerry.
That's true. Right. And if you're not keeping track, I was reading about this the other day. It's just mind-blowing. The CDC is recommending another booster by the fall. You know, do you know what number this is, Ironhead? Do you know what number we're on?
Like 16? I don't know.
10. 10. 10. We'll get to 16. Give it a couple. They're recommending you get your 10th shot, your 9th booster, which I realize most people aren't doing it, but some are. Some people are waiting, scheduling, planning to get their 10th shot.
I saw somewhere like some people have over 100 shots. They like keep lying.
There's a guy in Germany who has 241 shots.
That's insane.
And he said he's never got COVID. It's amazing that he's still alive. He's still standing.
It's because he doesn't play soccer or football, so he won't go.
Right. As all we've read and heard about the shot, and people are still going into their doctor or going to CVS and getting another one. Why? If you get COVID, so what? You get the flu. So what? You just whatever. Stay in bed. Drink plenty of fluids. Give it a couple days. You'll be fine. You really want to risk 10 booster shots because you might get the flu? These people aren't saying. These are the people who, you know, don't know, you know, about how corrupt Joe Biden is, who don't care about the border. They're just sitting home saying, oh, God, I can't wait till the pandemic is finally over. I got news for you. It's over. Get over it. Lose the mask. Live your life. What choice do you have? A 10th booster? Scary. Scary. We live among people who have gotten 10 shots. Frightening.
Well, wouldn't it be actually 12, wouldn't it? Isn't it actually like 12? Those are the boosters, not the initial two.
I think there's no one shot and then 10 and 9 boosters. And people are still getting it, thinking, what? Oh, I'll never get COVID. Most of them had COVID. Most of them, unless they're elderly or obese or have multiple comorbidities, most of them had COVID and get over it. And they're still getting shots. You're right. The guy on the chat line's right. Keith Olbermann. That's who's getting it. Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow and Taylor Lorenz. Just crazy people. You want to be one of them? Do these people admit it when they're at work, when they're with their friends? Yeah, I just got my 10th shot. And you say it in public? You're proud of it? We got to get to this TikTok guy telling people how to squat and... I'm going to let you explain to me. Ironhead, you're a big gambler. I know you you love your... Which one do you use, FanDuel or DraftKings?
DraftKings.
DraftKings. Well, Shohei Ohtani's guy, his interpreter, he didn't use DraftKings. That's the problem. That's the mistake here. That's it. We'll get to that and more, but first...
excuse me.
Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia super concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's perfect beard treatment or Provia eyelash enhancing serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. Let me do quick. This lunatic, this Venezuelan refugee that Joe Biden led into your neighborhood. This is what we're allowing over the border. This is who we're welcoming into our neighborhood. This is a guy who's supposed to enrich our culture. Diversity is our strength. There's a few videos of him, but we'll play one. And it's in Spanish, but I can tell you what he says. If you're watching, you can read the subtitles. But he also does a video where he explains how having babies since he got here, since he illegally entered our country, he's got an apartment, he's got benefits, he's got welfare, he's got phones. He explains all of it and says, have babies. The more babies you have, the more money they give you. And he holds up his baby on the video and says, she made it possible for us to live for free on the American taxpayer. This is who Ayanna Pressley and AOC and Liz Warren and Maura Healey are welcoming into your neighborhood. A guy who is giving tutorials on TikTok on how to steal houses from American taxpayers. Play a little of it here. Go ahead.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en
United. Invading a house in the United States. I found out there's a law, he says, that says if a house is not inhabited, we can seize it. Guys, in the United States, it also applies to the land invasion. It will be my next business, invading abandoned houses with my friends from Africa. They told me they've already taken 7 houses. As the saying goes, Daddy, you have to look for the return. And the return right now is to invade houses, since we're not in a street situation. And in the only way we have to not live on the street and not be a burden. The law says an abandoned house, deteriorated, that if it's in bad condition, we can get it and repair it and live in it, and we can sell it. What do you say? That's unbelievable. You got to see some of the other videos from this kid, this punk, this leech, telling you how to steal people's houses. By the way, this is happening everywhere. We talked about the case in New York. It's happening in blue states everywhere, in Washington State, in Atlanta, which hopefully is not a blue state anymore, blue city. People are just taking houses, and the cops are arresting the homeowners for changing the locks. That's the next step. Taking away your private property, which is your most fundamental right, owning private property. They want to take it away, steal it. Illegal aliens. I hope this guy appears in a Trump ad, because it's where he belongs. Trump should do every ad. Every ad should be about illegal aliens, the border, the invasion, Lake and Riley. That's all. He should hammer that home every day. And hopefully he will. And that should be the only theme at the debate. I want him to be at the border. I say this every day. Today, Trump should be at the border. Not in Texas, because they're closing it. Arizona, California. Stand there as they come pouring across. Make a speech. make a commercial from the border. Anyway, let's get to Ohtani before we're done here. A big, big story in Major League Baseball. And I've been reading all morning about this, trying to understand it. The question is, if you haven't been paying attention, the interpreter for Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani was fired yesterday afternoon after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation in California. His name is Ipe Muzahara. He's a longtime friend, good friend of Ohtani and his interpreter. He incurred gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation, sources with ESPN. How he came to lose his job started with reporters asking about the wire transfers. The question, obviously, is, did Ohtani know it? Was he involved? Was he gambling? I read the whole story. They fired the guy. Apparently, he had a gambling problem. Mm-hmm. We claim Ohtani didn't know. He just did a favor for a friend. Now, Ohtani has a $700 million contract, the biggest contract in American sports history. So he can afford it. But did he know what he was doing? You read the whole story and something dawns on you here. If he's in California, the bookie is illegal. They raided the guy. He's got all kinds of money. He's got money counting machines. He's running a very complex, illegal gambling operation. If Ohtani and his interpreter played for the Red Sox, if they played for the Yankees, they would just be calling DraftKings, right, or FanDuel, right?
Right.
That's the problem Major League Baseball has. It's a big deal. The guy's fired. The bookies raided, arrested, facing charges. The money trail obviously goes back to Ohtani. But the problem MLB and all the Major League sports have is he could have done this if he were in another state. One of 40 states have legalized gambling. You would have this, it would be a big story, but there'd be no crime. So the problem MLB and NBA and NFL has is this is going to happen. It's obviously going to happen. They've gotten bad with all these big gambling companies. So you're going to have a player, coach, a manager who's going to get caught gambling if they say, I didn't bet on my sport or my team. It's perfectly legal. And how can they call them out if they're taking millions from the gambling companies? If they're in partnership with DraftKings or FanDuel or MGM, what are they going to say when the next player gets busted for betting millions on soccer or golf or any sport that's not their sport? They knew this day was coming. And it's going to come, and it's going to come in multiple instances. This is not an outlier by any means. But they're claiming he didn't bet on baseball. Do you believe that? I don't. The sport he knows the best, the sport he has insight into. He's a loser. He's losing millions. He was a big-time poker player. He obviously had the demons. He gambled, and he gambled poorly. Are we supposed to believe that when he had an edge, when he knew something, he didn't take advantage of it? It's like saying, you know, Pete Rose, oh, he just didn't gamble on his team. But he did. He was a degenerate. This guy's a degenerate. Are you telling me degenerates have a line they won't cross when they're losing millions, when their career, their life is in the balance? I'm sorry. I don't believe it. I'll never believe this guy didn't bet on baseball. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe it'll all come out because they're investigating and, you know, the media's on it. But this, if indeed the interpreter was betting on the Dodgers or betting on the Angels because, you know, he was there. He's been with Ohtani for years. We really believe he had this moral line he wouldn't cross. Sure. Sure. Sell that somewhere else because nobody who knows gamblers believes this guy had a line, and he said, ooh, I'll bet on soccer and golf and whatever, football, but not baseball. That would be wrong.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway was it must be nice having $4.5 million taken away from you and not noticing.
Yeah. And people pointed out, doesn't matter how much money you make. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
To give to a friend with a gambling problem. Mm-hmm. Otani, the season has begun. They're in Korea. He hasn't spoken. I don't know if he has a new interpreter yet. So, but he will face the questions. I'm sure he's got his story straight. The Dodgers are probably working with him. MLB, just say you did a favor for a friend. And maybe he did. But you can't tell me that friend who was in the dugout, in the clubhouse, on the plane, didn't bet on baseball, the sport he knows the best.
Well, if he didn't, they wouldn't have fired him. So I think they know.
Well, I don't know. It's easy. Fire an interpreter. The guy made $500,000 a year and he blew it all.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't stop gambling. That's true. And we're supposed to believe he stopped.
Yeah. What do you do for work? I talk. I have conversations.
He works about 10 minutes a day interpreting. Yeah. I know he did errands or whatever, food runs for the guy, but he had a pretty good gig and he blew it all, threw it all away. We don't have time to get into this Planet Fitness story. I'll just say a woman in Alaska found a way to cancel her Planet Fitness membership. It's the hardest thing in the world. She did it.
Yep.
All she did was point out there's a man in the girls' locker room and he's shaving. She pointed that out. He was in the girls' locker room around little kids. She pointed it out. They canceled her membership and kicked her out. And I'm not going to say it's a Bud Light situation, but it's happening. People are turning on Planet Fitness, attempting to cancel their memberships, and their stock is plummeting. There he is. That's how you know this freak is just looking for attention, looking to create a firestorm, because he's shaving. I mean, if you want to pretend to be a girl and go in the girls' locker room and go in the stall and do your thing, that's one thing. That's obviously disgusting and wrong. But when you're in there shaving and people are taking pictures of you, you know you're doing it just to get attention. And hey, why not? The woman that called him out, she's gone, booted. I'm just going to say, Planet Fitness, you will regret this. But anyway, that's it for today. We'll leave it there. Thanks, Ironhead. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.